Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Countering Deception by Answering Life's Crucial Questions. How can I know right from wrong? When we have a moral or ethical question, where should we turn to find the answer? Universities have entire courses devoted to ethics. Businesses provide seminars on the subject. Ethical and moral dilemmas abound in the religious, political, and business worlds. It is part of life for us to be confronted with difficult questions that demand thoughtful answers. How can we properly navigate a course that requires us to make judgments between good and evil, right and wrong, and true and false? This article deals with the fourth worldview question in my series. Once we have wrestled with the first three worldview questions, number one, origins, from where did we come? Number two, identity, who are we? And number three, purpose, what is our purpose in life? We come to the subject of this article. If we conclude that we originated by chance out of nothing, we may further infer that either we cannot even know good from evil, or that, more logically, there is no real distinction, since such concepts are human inventions designed to help preserve and promote the human race without having any basis in reality, whatever that is. However, if we answer the first question by saying that we were created by God, the answer to how do we know right from wrong must also come from God. Why do we even care? Through experience, most people believe that there are both good and evil. No one could watch the torture of a loved one and simply shrug his or her shoulders and walk away thinking, oh well, what can we expect in an amoral universe? Injustice rankles even the most atheistic. The Communist Party, a chief proponent of atheism, has overthrown governments and inspired millions by stirring up rage against alleged injustices imposed by the privileged elite upon the oppressed working class. Although they do not seem to worry very much about murdering millions of people to obtain and maintain power, rage over financial and now racial injustice fuels the fires of revolution. Even though fomenting hatred against injustice for them is merely a means to an end, for those under their sway who rally to their cause, there is real felt outrage. Why do humans, even godless ones, care so much about justice if we live in a randomly evolved world in an unsympathetic universe? It makes no sense. But if we believe that God created us in His image, we must conclude that He planted a love and desire for justice deep in the human heart. Unless we are sociopaths or have seared it through regularly practicing evil, each of us also has an inner moral God called the conscience, which tugs at our hearts when we do what we consider to be wrong. From where did the conscience come? Is it a social psychological construct, as was posited by Freud, or did our Creator put it inside of us? Since we were created in God's image, I believe we have a desire to be like Him, and an unease when we are not. Anthropologists recognize that despite cultural and religious differences, there is a commonality of understanding across the breadth of humanity of right and wrong. If we believe that God created us, we understand that all humanity came from the same stock and possesses a common understanding, no matter how marred the image of God may be. In the beginning, God did not want Adam and Eve to know good and evil for themselves, because He wanted to protect them from the Pandora's box of woes associated with such knowledge. Satan, taking the form of a talking serpent, introduced something new into their pristine lives: doubt. He planted mistrust in Adam and Eve's minds regarding the integrity and goodness of God. Satan accused the Creator of being less than forthcoming and withholding something good from humanity. Falling for the ruse, our first parents judged God to be a liar and chose to disobey his command in order to gain first-hand knowledge of good and evil and be like God in that respect. They embraced deception and were deceived. They turned away from God and introduced sin, death, and destruction into God's creation, all to gain the ability to be self-directed agents and make their own decisions about good and evil. They did actually receive a brand new understanding of evil, but it was not at all good. For the first time, they felt guilt and fear, which propelled them to hide from God instead of enjoy fellowship with him. God immediately recognized what had happened. He said in Genesis 3, 9 through 11, "Where are you? I heard you walking in the garden," Adam replied, "so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Because Adam and Eve rejected God as the source of truth and life and opened their hearts to gaining knowledge from an evil source, they became aware of things that God, as a good parent, never intended for his children to know. Originally, God intended they simply do what he said without needing to go beyond that, and that way he could save them from the dark abyss of knowing evil firsthand. Now, as a result of Adam and Eve's transgression, knowing right and wrong is a huge challenge for all of us. How do we properly know things we were never meant to know? By default, we tend to lean to our own resources in the struggle to differentiate between good and evil. Satan is always willing to provide his input too, which invariably leads us away from God and steals our joy. Is it even possible for us to get back on track? The old covenant law clearly defined right and wrong, morals, diet, sanitation, and religious rights, but it did nothing to help us keep the law. Basically, it exposed the depth of our sin problem and our need for a Savior. Jesus came to introduce a brand new way of doing life called the New Covenant, one in which the life giver resides inside the believer, motivating and changing us from the inside out. You can read more about the amazing New Covenant on this website. All truth is God's truth. It is part of God's character and does not even exist outside of him. Jesus is the incarnation of truth, John 14:6. And unless we are reconnected to God through faith in him, we will always be confused and misled. In addition to having living truth reside in us when we believe, Jesus taught us that God's word, the written scriptures, are truth. This is not surprising, since Jesus is the living word of God, the word made flesh, John 1:14. All scripture was breathed by God and written down by people, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Holy Spirit, who is also called the Spirit of Truth, inspired the authors of the Bible to ensure its authenticity, John 16:13. Therefore, we must rely upon Jesus, the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit if we're to grow in a true knowledge of what is true, right, and good. The church is also the pillar and support of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The assembly of those who acknowledge that Christ is Lord and Savior and who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them functioning as their guide, teacher, and revealer of truth have been given the responsibility of guarding, preaching, and applying God's truth to daily life. Therefore, we also need to be in a living, working, ongoing relationship with others in a local church. Going it alone is a repeat of Adam and Eve's initial mistake. We cannot do life as loners because we are very liable to veer off course into error. Here are some steps to getting back in sync with God. Sin began with deception, produces deception, and ends in deception and death. Jesus called Satan the father of lies in whom there is no truth, John 8:44. The entire world is under the spell of deception woven by the evil one, 1 John 5:19. However, Jesus came into this world as the incarnate truth to reveal God's true nature and undo the lie about God introduced in the garden. Here are three steps. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. The first step to knowing what is good, true, and right is to recognize who Jesus is and to surrender ourselves completely to Him. On a personal level, this effectively undoes the rebellion against God that began in the garden. Number two, the second step is to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and God's revealed truth, the Bible. We can trust the Spirit of God to teach us what the Bible means, John 14:26. Unless we put God's revealed truth at the top of our list as the most reliable source of truth, we cannot grow in the knowledge of what is true, right, and good. We also must commit ourselves to obeying God's truth. Otherwise, we will likely become religious hypocrites. James 1:22. Third, the pathway to truth is to connect with a local church, which teaches and puts into practice what the Bible teaches. No church or person is perfect, but there must be the desire and the commitment to live in truth. Other believers in such a local church will serve as checks and balances to what we are receiving from the Lord directly from our study of the Bible. If we do the above, we will move forward in our quest for truth. However, no person or church or group is the sole possessor of truth. We must hang tightly to humility, realizing that we only have a portion of truth, not the whole, and that we need one another. Truth is found in a person named Jesus. Everything else points to Him.